You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Now, by the way, again, if you're new, my name's Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here. Thanks for being at Eternity Church today on this snowy, snowy Sunday. I'm glad that you're here. Honestly, there's something about snow this year, and if it ain't Saturday or Sunday, it ain't gonna snow. And you know, they'll predict a bunch during the week, it won't happen. But on the weekend, you know, it is what it is. I said last week, and I know for all you theologians in here, I know there's only one God. All right, it's all good. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God. I get that. But if it was like the Greek, you know, and if there was, you know, God of this and God of that and blah, 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 the snow God would be the devil. 100%. The devil, right? Trying to keep believers out of church. And I know it's hot in hell and stuff, but I think he's just been like, man, Eternity Church is just winning so many lost here. This hot in hell thing's not working. I'm going to try cold and see what that does. And but we refuse. We won't. And I used to like snow and, you know, fell for his wiles. And then and now I'm like, nah, snow's the devil, 100%. Right? It's the devil. Well, it's the devil from like midnight Friday to Sunday afternoon. After that, it's Jesus, right? And it's beautiful, but like not on the weekend. But that's just a lead pastor having a complaint for a moment. Is that allowed? Yeah, good, good. All right. I'm glad you're here, though, and that's fantastic. And we just never cancel, right? So far this weekend, we've had 6 people, I think, give their lives to Jesus Christ in our services so far this weekend. We just never cancel. And it's not just for people who are going to give their lives to Jesus in every service, although last week that was 22 as well, which is fantastic. But it's also about you. I believe that God wants to speak to you. I believe that before time began, God had moments and encounters and literally moments of our lives that he designed and set up for you to receive something from him. And I don't want my laziness to ever get in the way of that, all right? I'm not saying people who don't come are lazy. I'm saying if I don't come, I'm lazy, right? And, you know, that's just the conviction in my heart for me personally. And so I want to make sure that we always give you the opportunity to receive that which God has planned to give you today. Amen. And so thank you for being here today. I'm glad you're here. Another thing just to let you know that that it's a cold day outside. It's warm in here. So you need to loosen off any cold, you know, creaky joints you've got, because here at Eternity Church, we yell at the pastor when he's preaching. All right. You need to yell at me. Give it a go. Hey, say, hey, you.
Hey, you.
All right. Good. You got it. All right. If I'm preaching good, you need to say, that's good. All right, and if you agree, say amen, all right? And I grew up, my daddy yelled at me all the time, and I always perform better when people are yelling at me, and so yell at me in the sermon. Sound good? If you disagree with something I say, email Pastor Jed, he'll let you know why you're wrong, and but other than that, a good amen every now and again will help me preach better. Sound good? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So we're in the middle of this viral sermon series. Actually, this is the 4th week of that sermon series. And it's a sermon series about the cultures and the values of the kingdom of God being a part of the church and going viral in our communities as the communities see what God is doing in our lives. See, so much scripture, thank you, Tyler, so much scripture talks about how we talk to and how we treat each other and what we do for each other. And then scripture goes on to tell us that the world is watching us and that when they see the goodness of God on display in our lives, that when they see the good deeds that we do for God, that they in turn will turn around and glorify the Lord, right? So it will go viral. The good things that we do that God has put on our hearts will go viral in the communities around us. That means that as we model godly values, they will go viral and people will meet Jesus because of it. And that is what it's all about. Does that sound good? And so I gave everyone an announcement last week, something I was super excited about, but half the church was missing. Like literally 50% of the church did not come last week. And it's all right, I know. There was I think they said it was 75 inches of snow, right? Like, that's brutal. You couldn't even get your Silverado through that, right? Like, so that was nuts. I get it. It's all good. I'm not judging anybody. But so I decided that instead of putting the news on Facebook during the week, we would announce it again here today for those of you who didn't hear, so you can be a part of this exciting celebration. And so what's happened, basically, is Waikiki's growing west, Adel's growing east, Ankeny's growing north, and we really feel like that this Clive campus where we are right now is becoming more of a central location than it is a west location. And we believe with all of our heart that God has called us to take over this entire city with this gospel of grace. Oh, the whole thing, right? But that it needed to start out west, that this was the epicenter of what God was going to do in the city. I don't know why, it's just what God put on our hearts. It seems to be working so far, right? And we're only 6.5 years in, and this has been amazing. This is a snowy day, and look what's happening right now. So God is good. But when we were talking about that, we really felt like we were going to start missing an opportunity out further west. And we've also always believed that God has called our church to be a multi-site church with campuses around our community so that we can have as much influence and impact on people's lives as we possibly can. And so we started talking to, as a board and leadership, about how we believe that God is calling us to have a second Eternity Church campus a little further west, maybe 20 minutes or so out west. And then, so we started talking that since Adele and Waiki are going to touch each other in about 5 years, we started talking about how we should put a campus in the middle, since we already have a couple of hundred people here every week from around that area anyway. And so as we were talking about that, we thought, oh, we could just maybe approach some of the churches out there and offer to buy their land from them and do that. And so we started a conversation with a church called Fusion Church out there in Adele, and just close to Adele, and started talking about, you know, what could God do if we were to go out there, if we were to take the influence that God has given us here and plant another campus out there. But let me tell you what, that's a good vision, right? Good. Most of you agree. That's good. Like, that's a good vision, right? As much influence for the kingdom of God as possible. And so we started this conversation with these wonderful people. There's about 20 people in the church. They had about 8 acres of land and a great facility that can hold a couple of hundred people or more in there. And as we were talking to them, they really felt inspired by what God is already doing here at Eternity Church. See, it's going viral. Not only is it blessing people in the community and blessing your friends and family and blessing you, but other churches are taking note of what God is doing here. And so as we're talking to them, they were inspired by what God has done here. They were inspired by you and the grace of God on your life and the blessing of God on your life and the favor of God and the special shame-breaking anointing on our church inspired them. And so they decided that instead of selling us anything, that they would give us everything that they have. And so they're no longer meeting out there. For 8 weeks, we're going to renovate it. Easter Sunday, we're going to relaunch Eternity West out there towards Adele. I think you should stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Come on, is that exciting? Is God good or what? Hallelujah. Come on, isn't God good? Before you take your seats, there's one other group, one other thing we should do. I think that everybody in this room should give a great round of applause and thank you to the people of Fusion for their incredible generosity. Come on, just thank them. We always want to honor generosity. Hallelujah. You can take your seats, but I'm just absolutely thrilled with what God's going to do out there at Eternity West, and we will begin to call this Eternity Central. And I know some of you are like, does that finally mean we can get rid of you and you'll go preach out there? Unfortunately, it doesn't. I'm sorry. I will be here every single week. But what we are going to do, because our church is obsessed with unity and same, what we're going to do is out there, we're investing in a gigantic big LED screen that'll go on the wall there so that we can have the exact same sermon from here, live, not later, live, piped in over there, so that they are a part of what's happening here and we're a part of what's happening there. It is one church, one culture, one sermon, not a degree different. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. We're excited about it. They'll have a live band out there on stage, but then the sermon will come in. It's going to be wild. Are you excited about what God is going to do? I hope you feel honored. I really do hope that you feel honored, because not only did they honor us corporately as a church, and not only were they incredibly generous, and I love generosity, so that's a big deal to me, but they looked at you and they said, I want what's on your life. I want what's on your life. I hope you feel honored by that. And if you meet a Fusion person over the next number of weeks, they're going to all attend here. There's about 20 of them. They're going to all attend here. Or 20 adults, sorry. They'll attend here for the next 8 weeks. And then they'll go back as our launch team out there with some of you as well. And if you meet someone from there, you need to go up and say, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your generosity. Over and over and over, amen. And God is good, yeah? Awesome. You want to receive something from God today? Awesome. Would you reach out your hands in faith? I want to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for people who want to receive from you. God, and I thank you that you always want to give to us. God, this is a day that you set aside before time began to bless each and every one of us. God, to teach us, to inspire us, to remind us of things that we've forgotten about you and about living for you. And help us to receive today. God, if any of our hearts are hard, I pray you soften them and chip the hardness off our hearts that we could receive all that you want to do in our lives today. God, I pray we all walk out of this place having been blessed and touched by your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. I'm going to John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse 31 to 35. It'll be up on the screen, but I also want to encourage you to always try and bring your Bibles to church with you. If you don't have a physical Bible, bring your phones and highlight the scriptures you hear in the sermon. That way, whenever you read over it again, you're like, oh, I remember when that sermon, or I remember when God spoke to me about this or that, and it's just a good habit to get into. John chapter 13, verse 31. Are you ready? Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Every time I read that, I'm like, what? Anyone else? You're like, there was lots of glorifying. I know that, right? Anyone else, you ever read that and you're like, what happened just there, right? There's lots of glorifying going on. We'll move on to verse 33, all right? My children, I will be with you a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot presently come. 34, a new command I give you. See, this is Jesus saying, I'm going to be gone for a while, so I'm giving you this command. A new command I give you, love one another. Amen. Love one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. And turn to your other neighbor and say, oh, I love you. No, that's creepy. Don't do that, all right? Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this you will know, sorry, by this everybody will know. By this, everybody will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church, today I want to talk to you about unity. What happens when we love one another? What happens when we love each other? What happens when we give each other, when we treat each other with a godly kindness and a godly respect? A respect that says, I understand that you are a child of God. I understand that God created you, that God designed you, that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and I respect that. What happens when we treat each other with a godly kindness and a godly respect? See, this is another way, unity is another extremely important way that the church must be, can be, and should be a light to the world. Because in the world, it can feel so divided out there, can't it? Right? Is it just me that feels like that sometimes? That in the world, it can feel so divided, division everywhere. But church, we don't have to live like that in here. We don't have to live like that with each other. The world needs to know that there is beauty, that there is peace, that there is happiness, and there's incredible strength in unity. See, we can all live together in unity, even though we're so very, very different. Come on, look at the person next to you. You don't look like them, unless they're your twin, in which case you really do. But come and look around the room. We are so different. Our husbands, our wives, our children are so different. Our families are different to the families next door. We look different. We act different. We talk different. But God made us all. God made men and God made women. God made men, God made women. None of them are a mistake. He didn't make one better than the other. He didn't make masculinity for femininity to serve. He didn't make femininity for masculinity to serve. God made us both. None is inferior or superior to the other. We are all creatures created by God. Amen. No one is inferior to somebody else. This is not a mistake. Hallelujah. You were designed on purpose, with purpose, by God. We can all live in unity together. God made black people. God made white people. God made brown people. God made all people. All people, you people, we people, we are all God's handiwork, created and crafted by God's hand. We were all a piece of clay on God's clay spinning wheelie thingy, whatever it's called. And we all have a righteous purpose, amen? Every one of us has a righteous purpose. Every single one of you, God ordained, God created, God loved, God valued. And I know if you're in here and you're thinking, well, you talked about race and you talked about people. Well, I'm not a racist and I'm not a sexist. Well, race and sex are not the only forms of disunity in the world. They're not the only forms or the only areas of unity that the church is called to model. But they're extremely important, hugely important. And if you are sexist or if you are a bit racist, I believe that God can change your heart instantly and gradually. But if you submit yourself to Him, listen to His voice and spend time in His presence, you will change. Your heart will soften. Your heart will change. And you will find freedom from that oppression in your own life. Because if you're sexist or racist or any other ist, it's going to oppress you as much as anybody else. And we all need to be set free from that in Jesus' name. We want unity, though, church, in every single area of our lives and every area of our church and in everything that we do. Everything. Wouldn't you agree? Good. Feel bad if you said no, wouldn't it, right? We want unity in everything. See, in this room right now, there are rich people and there are people who are currently poor. Now, I said currently poor because I believe with all my life that anyone, every area of your life that you submit to God and honor Him in, He will lift you up, amen. He will lift you a bit higher again and again. But in this room, we have some rich people, we have some poor people, but all of us are rich in spirit and rich in faith, hallelujah. In this room, we have Democrats and Republicans and independents, and in this place, we worship the same God, amen. There's no elections here. There's just a King in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so we can be unified in worshiping that one King in Jesus' name. Some of us in here come from healthy families, and some of us come from jacked up families. Yep. Some of y'all like, yeah. It's my family, but I want to be quiet about that because mummy's sitting next to me. Some of our families are jacked up, right? Like, for real, some families are messed up. And some families are like super, super healthy, right? But we're all adopted into God's family. Come on, we're all from the same family. We're all brothers and sisters from a whole nother mister, Mr. God, amen? Come on, we are brothers and sisters. The person sitting next to you is your brother, your sister. Some of you are like, but it's my wife. I know that sounds super weird. We're talking spiritual family, all right? They are your spiritual brother, your spiritual sister. We are all a part of one godly heavenly family, hallelujah. But there's another way. Some of us were born here in the USA. Born in the USA. Did I just murder everyone's favorite song? I apologize. I'll sing the whole thing if you want. No? All right, cool. Everyone's good. Some of y'all were born here, but some of us, see, in here we've got US citizens. Come on. Love you. God bless you. But we've also got some immigrants. We got some Australian citizens. There's two, three. There's three, yeah, there's three Australian citizens in here. Me, Wifey, and Mikey, all right? Some Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Some people who aren't Aussie even know that. Aussie! Anyway, I'm giving too much favor to the Aussies right now. I apologize. We got US citizens. We got some Aussie citizens. We got some Mexican citizens in here. Come on. We got some Costa Rican citizens on the second row right there. We've even got English citizens in this room. I know, we let them back. That's weird, right? 200 years ago, we're like, get out of our country. Now we're like, come back, we love you. Sorry about that, killing your family and stuff. No, we got you, peace. We got Indian citizens. We got citizens of countries I don't even know how to spell. But we're all citizens of heaven. We all dual citizens in here, amen? We got a citizenship that nobody can take away, nobody can say anything about, nobody can mock it. We are all citizens of heaven, hallelujah. Nobody is inferior in this room, no one. Not you, not anybody. We all have different spiritual gifts and talents. That's cool, right? Man, we're so different on so many ways. If unity was about conformity, it would never happen. Can't happen. It's impossible. Oh, everybody's got to walk around wearing gray and beige. And that's it. That's it. That's not unity. That's conformity. We are all so different. Some here are gifted by God with intercessory prayer. Thank you. Some here have a special gift of grace. Hallelujah. Some here have a special gift of hospitality, and it's amazing. Some of us are leaders and communicators. Some of us have a gift of prophecy. Some of us are gifted with the ability to be over the top generous. Some people are gifted to be incredible cleaners. We got gifted musicians here. We got people gifted at serving others at the door, at the cafe, as an usher, in kids' church, whatever else. But none of us are more important or better than the other. The pastor is not better than you. Sorry, for some of you, you're even more righteous than me, right? If it was about behavior, all right? Thank God it's only about God saying, you, sir, are righteous. Hallelujah. Done, right? But I'm telling you right now, I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We are all children of God, called by God, set apart by God. I'm not better because I'm the pastor. This is just the gift he gave me, and that's the gift he gave you. And as we do it together, God is glorified. Amen. Romans 12 says this. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For each of us, just as though we have one body with many members, what he's saying is you as a person, you have your own body with many parts. When it says members, he means parts. Just as you are one body with many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function, so in Christ Jesus, we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your politics, however you think and however you serve, we are one body. Hallelujah. We are one church. We are one body, and we honor and appreciate and love one another. We're worshiping one God. We're talking about this one great church that God, there's other great churches, but we're talking about this church, and we're growing in one faith, and we're living by the power of one Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're called to show honor and love and support for each and every one of us. If my finger starts to bleed, my other hand will come and put a band-aid on it. In church, if somebody's bleeding, if somebody's hurting, it's the rest of the church's responsibility to notice and go and help and go and love and go and support. Take food, just stand there and love them, whatever else, but be there. Notice, support. Hallelujah. We are called to look after each other, and as we do, the world will see what God is doing in and through you. And they will know that we are friends of God because we love each other just like he loved us. Yeah, that is good. You are responding good, but I'm preaching better than you're responding. I'm just saying. I just feel that in my spirit that you need to know that, right? I'm just messing around. You know, out there in the world, conservatives and liberals don't even talk to each other. They yell at each other. They call conservatives bigots and they call liberals stupid. But in here, we worship God together. In here, we worship God together. Out there, the rich and the poor might not dine at the same cafes or restaurants, but in here, they eat at the same communion table, receiving the same gift from God. Hallelujah. Right here. Out there, race can divide us. Out there, we can judge each other. In there, in here, we're all covered by the red blood of Jesus' sacrifice on that cross. And when God looks at us, all he sees is red. Red, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. One race, saved and set free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Out there, the outwardly good people are separated from the outwardly bad people. But in here, God says we're all perfect in his eyes, and our behavior doesn't determine how he feels about us. Now, disclaimer, that doesn't mean that everything we do is good, right? And it doesn't even mean that in the church everything we do is good. Man, we are a church full of some really awesome people and a ton of jacked up people, right? And you know which one you are. And so, If you think you're perfect, you might actually be. And anyway, we'll just move on from that. But, you know, like, it doesn't mean that everything we do is good. It certainly doesn't mean that we agree and conform on everything that we do. It doesn't mean that every political opinion is godly or that every life choice is God-honoring. But it does mean that we all recognize our own personal need for Jesus and we let other people need him too. I need Jesus. I really need Jesus. I need Jesus so much. And I'm okay to let you need him too. I know that he saved my soul. And that if my behavior determines my eternal destiny, I'm going to hell. And so I need him to make sure that that's not true for me. And I'm going to let you need Jesus too. Hallelujah. Is that good? Come on, you can need Jesus. And you can have Jesus too. Isn't that the good thing? Hallelujah. None of us have got it all together. All of us are valuable and acceptable in spite of that. We're all delightful to our Father in heaven. And in this house, we don't try to make everyone, you know, vote the same, dress the same, look the same, talk the same, act the same. Come on, we don't do that. We don't do politics here. This is probably the most we've ever talked politics in this church's history, right? And we're not even talking politics, right? We're just using the word. That's it, right? We don't do that here. We don't embrace or endorse any political agendas in here. The only time you ever even hear the words on this stage is when we are telling you that we love you. That's it. When we're telling you that no matter what politics your neighbor has, you're called to love your neighbor, right? That no matter what politics the person sitting behind you has, when they're in a crisis, you're called to be there, amen? That's the only way we ever talk about it. We love the left, the right, and the middle, hallelujah. We are just on a mission to help everybody understand that God created them, that he loves them. We want to help them find their God-ordained purpose in him, right? In him. We don't want them to find their whole life's purpose in anything but in him, the one who designed them, the one who created them, the one who knit them together in their mother's womb and hasn't left them since. Hallelujah. Allow him to draw your heart closer to him. If something in your life or in your opinions needs to change, God will help you. God will help you. All we got to do is show the world the beauty and the strength of unity. But why? Why bother with this, right? Why do that? Because church, God blesses unity. God blesses unity. He does every time, always. People out there are inspired by unity. You know, they may be addicted to shame and hurting each other and whatever else, and they may be divided, but when they see unity working, they're inspired. They're inspired by it. And God called us to be a light to the world. So let's show them this unity and how to live. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 133. This is absolutely brilliant. Listen to this. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? Boom. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? I'm going to say it again. How good and how pleasant is it when we live together in unity? That's an awesome scripture, but let's see what God does in response to that. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. How good and how pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It is like that is where the Lord bestows his blessing and life and life forevermore. I have come that you may have life and life abundantly, right? Life and life forevermore. Jesus said that in the New Testament. Out here in the Old, God is saying that where his people live in unity, there will be life and life and life forevermore. Hallelujah. He will bless it. God always blesses that place of unity. Church, as we continue to remain a place of unity, God will continue to bless us. The more unity you have in your life, the more blessing you'll have in your life, 100%. So do all that you can to live in unity. Romans 12 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Don't be conceited. Don't repay evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Yes, live at peace with that neighbor too. Yeah. That one. Every street has that one, right? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. We don't just give up and say, I've had enough, you can burn in hell. No, we do everything that we can to live at peace with everybody, with all of them. Church, I know what it's like to have that person in your life that you just want to shake and say, are you the dumbest person on God's green earth? Right? Anyone know that person? Anyone sitting next to that person? Don't put up your hand. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know how badly I want to Facebook about things that annoy me in the world or in my life. Social media is a blessing or a curse. It's up to you. I've chosen to make it a blessing for people. Did you know that on social media, oh, this is cool. I learned this and changed my life. I'm going to tell you something really cool, right? There's a function on social media. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. This is really neat, right? It's called scrolling. Heard of that? You ever heard of that? It's really cool. Did you know you actually aren't forced to engage with opinions you disagree with on Facebook? I know. You can go like this. Gone. Come on, everybody, say gone. I didn't even know that a few years ago. Man, I found like an extra hour in every day now to like pray, read my Bible. We won't go that far, right? Like, come on, did you know you can just scroll past opinions you disagree with? Did you know that God gave you the ability to bite your tongue? Did you know that? Scripture says that even a fool is thought wise if he holds his tongue. You know, you can be in a meeting with people that disagree with you, and did you know it's able to just go? You can do that. It's a gift from God. He gave it to you, right? You don't have to have a fight every time someone says something dumb in your opinion. Hey, if your life is rooted in disunity and conflict, if you live by the sword, your relationships will die by the sword. If your marriage has no points of unity, it will fall apart. Being dead sexy ain't gonna get your marriage through a lack of unity, all right? But I work out for her. No, you know, like you need unity in your marriage. You need unity in your marriage. It will not survive if you don't agree on anything. If a workplace is full of infighting, it won't survive. People don't have to agree on everything. They don't have to conform. But can we have something that we're running the same direction for? For you, your marriage has unity by choosing to worship God together. Your finances have unity by choosing to tithe together. Your family has unity by choosing to build the church together. And those points of unity bring a blessing to your life that God has commanded and the devil can't interfere with. Amen. How wonderful is it when God's people dwell together in unity? Being in church together will bless you. At work, unity will cause your business to be blessed. Cut away the strife. Promote unity, amen. 2 years ago, I preached a sermon about the law of sowing and reaping. How after the greatest disaster the world had ever seen, Noah's Ark, the flood of the planet, that God introduced a law called sowing and reaping, or the principle of sowing and reaping. I believe it works like a law. If you sow, you get a harvest. Luke says, give and God will give it back to you. Press down, shaking together, running over and pouring into your lap. It's not just an idea. It's the way the world has been set up. God set it up like gravity. You jump off a building, you land on the ground, right? Sow and you will reap. Punch somebody in the face, they punch you in your face. You reap what you sow, right? The same law applies to unity and blessing. Unity will bring a blessing. Disunity will bring pain. God will not bring you destruction, but sowing seeds of disunity will make you reap seeds of disunity. So do all that you can to live in unity, especially to those in the church. Hallelujah. Let's not wait for conflict before we bless each other. Do like Pastor Jed said. Let's have like love wars. Let's have honor wars where we try to outdo each other in caring for each other. You know, I love what he said. Well, you gave me a Chevy. Well, I'm giving you a Beamer. You know, like, we're trying to outdo each other in love, outdo each other in support and in honor, because love, peace, and unity will cause a blessing on your life that the devil can't take away. John 17, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that they may all be one. Father, just as you and I are one, you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." God, this is Jesus praying that you and me would live in complete unity. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that brilliant? See, check it out. Everything in Scripture is beneficial for you. Everything. All of Scripture is beneficial for your life. All of it, right? But in this particular spot, Jesus specifically calls you and me out. Is the band coming out? Can I have them come out? Thanks. He specifically calls you out. He says, "I don't only pray for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me in future." And his prayer at that moment, when he's specifically praying for us, is that we would live in unity. That's his greatest prayer right there for us. Church, would you stand up with me? One of the ways that we can live in unity together is spending time in his presence and worshiping him. We had a delayed start today, by the way, so I know we'll be finished by about 10 past today instead of 5 past. Just bear with us, stick around, and continue to create this opportunity where people will have, continue to maintain this environment of faith and love so that when people come down for prayer in a moment that they'll be blessed by that. But church, one of the ways that we can help foster and create unity in our lives is by spending time together in God's presence. As we stand in church together, as we worship together, as we receive the word of God together, he's working on our hearts and drawing us close to him. Can I have you be God? There we go. Everyone, this is God. Say, "Hi, God." So this is God, just for the sake of this illustration. And over there, that's Brooke. And right now, we're standing a bit away from each other, aren't we, me and Brooke? She's cool. She's awesome. We love Brooke. But we're not, like, super unified right now. But if all I do is just keep trying to be the same as her, we're not really ever going to be, right? But what we can do is God is drawing us both to him, right? And so, God, you're drawing us, can you, like, yeah, come to me? And so, but check it out, as God is drawing us closer to him, we're actually getting closer to each other, right? And so when Scripture says, "Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you," right? God is drawing near to us. God is also, Scripture says, calling us to him. He's drawing us to him. And as that's happening, we're becoming more unified, Brooke and I are as well. Isn't that neat? And so in church, when we spend time worshiping God together, praising the Lord together, and Scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people, and when God is with us, we're drawn near to him and he's drawn near to us. This praise and this worship and this presence of God environment is actually drawing our hearts closer together and giving us a greater love for one another. It's making us more like him and therefore making us more like each other in ways that matter, like kindness, care, compassion, love, the ways that Scripture tells us that we should treat each other. Hallelujah. It's making us a more perfect church. We'll never be perfect. That won't happen at all until we're with the Lord in glory. But he's making us a more perfect church, a more powerful church, and a more blessed church. And church, the world will see the good things that God is doing in you and me and through us, and they will turn and glorify the Lord because of your unity and your love for one another. The end.